welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
I'm going to be speaking out of Matthew this morning. Matthew chapter 16. And I'm going to be just talking simply around the keys of the kingdom. Okay? So turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. We'll start at verse 19. So, Father, we just glorify you this morning. Lord, we just stand here humbly in your presence. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come and just minister your word this morning. And Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And may your words, Lord, just communicate right now and touch hearts, change lives, and Lord, affect the kingdom of God for good, Lord, and not for evil. Father, even, Lord, as I stand here this morning, Lord, I'm only a vessel. And if you can just use this vessel, Lord, to communicate your word with power, with strength, and Lord, and a way that will touch and reach lives this morning. Father, we thank you for your house, for your congregation, for the leading of your Holy Spirit this morning in worship. Father, we give you preeminence in this place, and we just honor you, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness, for your love, your mercy. Lord, even for your patience this morning with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. So, Matthew chapter 16, and we'll use this really for our text today. It's a familiar text, and you know, in this church, it's one that we'll have come across on many occasions. And I'm going to just go back to verse 18 and start off again with that familiar passage where Jesus is communicating and talking to Peter. Now, the backdrop here is that Peter, all the disciples are in discussion, they're communicating. And Jesus, in the midst of this discussion, turns around and says to Peter, "Peter, who do you say that I am? Or who do men say that I am?" And Peter responds, he says, "Some people call you Elijah, some people think you're Jeremiah, but I say that you are the Son of the living God," okay? And then Jesus, realizing what had just happened, I don't think Peter had a clue as to what had just happened here, Jesus turns around and almost gives him a charge, but in that he's communicating something to us and to the church. He says in verse 17, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And what's he talking about? He's talking about that revelation that Jesus is the Christ. He's not just Elijah. He's not just some sort of reincarnation or some sort of person who, one of the prophets of old. No, he is, forget them, he is the Son of the living God. He is Jesus the Christ. And on this, based on that knowledge and revelation that Peter had, that he was Jesus Christ, the only way, the truth, and the life, based on that revelation, this next powerful statement came out, and it was, "And I also say to you, Peter," right, "that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades," or hell, "shall not prevail against it." And that was a powerful message, which really is an anchor stone for the church today. You see, when we meet and have this fellowship time on a Sunday, this is not what I call the church. Yes, this is a form of the church coming together, and this can take many forms depending on the local church that is in discussion, right? In our local church, BCC, we come, we gather in the morning, we have praise and worship, we share a word. Sometimes we'll have a certain degree of ministry. That's not necessarily the church or the description of the church that Jesus is relating to here. Yes, this is church, but we are the church, as you know. And the church is much bigger than what happens on a Sunday morning. Yes, we come and we delight ourselves in the Lord. We rejoice in Him. We remind ourselves. We encourage ourselves. We learn what God is telling us through His Word. All great things. But the church goes much wider, bigger, further than that. And the Bible is very clear about the role of the church, which isn't my message this morning. But let me encourage you, the church is much greater and bigger than what you might think or perceive Sunday morning to be. This is just the ice, this is the tip of the iceberg. When you read in Ephesians chapter 3 that the church has got to be able to speak to the heavenlies, the principalities and the powers of darkness, the manifold wisdom of God, and to know and to be able to speak to the principalities and powers of the darkness, all of that responsibility has been given to the church. It's the authority and the responsibility that Jesus has actually left to the church. We carry his name. We carry the blessing. The church carries his authority. They're big words, but we are more than just coming around and having a wonderful service and dedicating it to the Lord. It's much more than that. We are part of an institution that is God-ordained, and God has sealed it with his blessing, that we are the force on earth and to the heavens from now until we go to be with the Lord. We declare what it is that takes place on earth as it is in heaven. That responsibility is huge, but it's been given to you and to me. We are the church. Hallelujah. So it says, and I say to you, Peter, or you, that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And verse 19 says, and I will give you the keys, right? This is where I want to major this morning. Keys. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And again, it's a familiar topic in Christendom. We've heard it before. We've talked about it before. So I'm just reminding you of this, the principles here. And just to do that, we can't get past that verse without talking about keys, right? Because keys is specifically mentioned here in chapter 19. Last night, Abigail, I'm not sure if she's here. Is she? Maybe not. She's working. Abigail was celebrating her 18th birthday. And at the age of, the ripe old age of 18, all right, there's certain privileges. Society has given us this indicator that 18, well, we're mature enough now that we can have the keys maybe to the house. We can have certain responsibility and authority in the land. We're able to vote. We're able to have certain privileges that we couldn't yesterday, the day before I was 18. Right, so 18 is almost like this benchmark in human society where we reach a position and we get some authority, we get some privilege, we get a wee bit of, we're deemed mature enough to handle certain things that are going to come our way. And one of those things may well be the key to the house, right? I know, has Abigail got a key now? I suppose she does. And so Abigail, she's got the key to the house. Now, she's been given this key by her parents. But who are the master key holders of that house? Well, let's say it's Graham and Andrea. They are the key holders, yes. They hold the master key, but they're still the key holders. And what they specifically do is go and get a, when it's time, when they feel it's right for their children or any of us to have a key, they will go and they'll get the key cut. And at some point, they will make it a ceremony. I don't know, or if it's here's a key. I don't know. I'd say it's quite a special thing when somebody's becoming a key holder for the first time. So in Abigail's case, she's reached 18. She's now been given the key to the house and everything else. And she has been delegated that authority. She's now a keeper. And she has to now live under the conditions of what that house entails. But she has got a key. And that key represents power. It represents authority. She alone, well, other than her parents, has the ability to unlock and lock the door of the house and probably any other door within the house. She has got now full reign of that house. It's her house, which she dwells in, and she's been given the key. So a key is an instrument which can unlock or lock an area. Okay, let's say it's our home. And in this case, Abigail's, she's privileged now, she's got this key. Well, we're going to just talk about keys. Keys unlock things, right? They unlock, there's a key, don't tell anybody, but we've got a key to this place here, right? And it's like a master, it's like a key that opens and unlocks every door in the building. It's like a, have you ever heard of a skeleton key? I think it's called. It doesn't matter what lock it is, but this particular key can unlock it. Well, this is a skeleton key. This key, once you have it, will unlock every door in the house. And the house that we're talking about in this passage is the kingdom of God. It says, I will give you, this is Jesus saying to Peter, I will give you the keys. Now notice it says keys, right? And another thing I want you to notice is it doesn't say keys to the kingdom of heaven. It says the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And here is not some key that gets you through the gateway, gets you through the front door. But the keys that we're talking about here are the keys that can unlock or lock. They have the power to unlock or lock every area within the kingdom of God and your life, right? So this key is like a master key, or a skeleton key, which can unlock every area of blessing in your life, or if used incorrectly, can lock you, the opposite is, or the inverse is true, can lock you away from the blessing of God that's been intended for your life. And guess what? The church and the kingdom of God. We've talked many times about our plan and purpose within the kingdom of God. So when somebody who is a key holder doesn't know how to use the key, remember it's just the instrument. The key in itself doesn't magically open or unlock or lock. It's an instrument which the person or the holder has to use as an instrument to actually do something to unlock or lock. So the power is not in the key, so to speak. Well, it in itself is the key, but the key needs to be used correctly. It needs to be used by an operator or the holder of the key in such a way that it will lock or unlock. And that responsibility falls to Abigail, or if we're talking about the kingdom of God, every one of us. And it's just along these lines that I would like to talk about. So, the keys we're talking about are the keys to the kingdom. And within the kingdom, we know what the kingdom is. It's righteousness, peace, and joy, and every spiritual blessing that comes with it, as Ephesians 1 says, that we have been granted every spiritual blessing that God has ordained for us. And that spiritual blessing is part and parcel of the kingdom of God. Now, once we declare, just like Peter did, that, Lord, some say that you're Elijah, some say that you're Jeremiah, but I say you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's our gateway. Isn't it, as a believer, or through our conversion, that is our gateway into the kingdom of God, that we have the same revelation Peter had, that God, some say this, some say that, but I choose today, I believe in my heart that you are the Christ, the Savior of the world, Lord and Savior of my life. And upon that confession, just like Peter, upon the confession and the revelation of who Jesus Christ is and what he accomplished for us on the cross, we now enter the kingdom of God. Isn't that right? So once we enter the kingdom of God, we have right, just like Abigail, we have reached that place where we can become a key holder in his kingdom. We have the privilege, we call it delegated authority, that God has given us, just as he did Peter, delegated authority. You see, Jesus had to do that. He was doing that with purpose. It wasn't just an idea at the time. Jesus was going back to the Father. As his person was going back to the Father, and he was leaving with us the Holy Spirit. But this whole context around church, he was leaving his authority, the key of the kingdom, with who? The church, you and me. So we're not just some gathering that meet on a Sunday morning. We're not just some whimsical people that have a hole in their church roof and so what are we going to do? You know, we are the church of the living God. We can speak things as though they aren't. We can declare into the heavens according to his word and declare his kingdom come. We can declare that as it is in heaven, so it is on earth. We can speak these things with knowledge that we are key holders of his kingdom. We have the authority and the privilege to use his authority. Now, when we talk about delegated authority, sometimes in church we kind of walk around some, not all, it would never happen in this church. We almost wear it as a badge of honor. I'm a Christian. I'm good living. I have this, and I live this certain way, and talk about the blessing of God in your life. Yet you just, your code really is probably not a whole lot different than just the world, or your outlook, the way you talk, the way you think is probably, it could well not be that much different from the world. And we almost wear this title as a badge of honor as opposed to being accountable. We're using the case of Abigail. Abigail has the ability to hold that key, to use that key, but she is accountable to the master key holders. How she lives and uses or abuses that house, she will have to give an account to her mom and dad. Last night she had her 18th birthday party, right? With all her friends and all around. So that could, 18-year-olds, girls and boys, things can happen, right? I'm sure nothing happened last night. But anyway, if something had gone wayward, well, and her mommy and daddy found out about it, well, now, she's going to have to give an account. How did you let this happen? Nothing happened, sure didn't. No. So we are accountable. And often we walk around God's kingdom and we almost walk around as though we have no accountability. But God is saying, I have given you the keys of my kingdom for a purpose. It's not a badge of honor. It's not something that you wear with some sort of pride just because you're in the kingdom of God. It's for a purpose. It's for a plan, and it's for you to reach your destiny, but also to fulfill the plan and purpose that I ordained when he talked to Peter about the church. See, the church is not some club. It is the church of the living God. It says here that nothing can stand against the church. Not even hell can stand against it. Wow. So we are custodians of that kingdom. We are carriers, key holders of that kingdom. We have that delegated authority. Every chain, every obstacle, every restraint, every tether in your life that's binding you to something that shouldn't be bound. Let's read on and see what it says. It says, the kingdom of God, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. With the key used correctly, you can deal with, lock and unlock every aspect, every hindrance, every obstacle, every tether, everything that binds you, your situation, your life, your loved ones, your journey and path through life doesn't have to be from within a four walls of a box. Because you have a key that can, in one swift movement, can take you outside of your fears, can take you outside of the security of your four walls or your box that maybe you dwell in. And you can, from that moment, soar the heights, climb the heights that God has planned and destined you within his kingdom to experience. So, We see this in Revelation chapter 1 and 17. I'll quickly turn to it. We get proof of this. We see what Jesus says, or it was actually John through a vision when he realized he couldn't believe it. He was in shock. He was in awe. But it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, it says, I am he who lives and was not and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. There's a natural amen or a supernatural amen that wants to come out there anyway. Yet we see it here written in Scripture. I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. You see, Jesus, he is the master key holder this morning. And he has delegated and he's gone down to Havlands, if you like. And he's got a key cut, especially for you. He's got it engraved. And it says, this key is the key to my kingdom. It will unlock every door, every obstacle. It will break every chain in your life and unlock the destiny that I have set forth before the foundation of the earth for you. Here it is. Take it. And there's a ceremony. It's got your name on it. It's more than a badge of honor. This is something you can use and work with. But it's more than that. We have to use the key. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but we have to use that key to unlock the promises of God and the blessing of God in our lives. Hallelujah. So unless we realize the purpose of these keys, we continue to be defined and confined by the box that we live in. And Jesus, the Holy Spirit, wants to talk with us. And because we're part of his kingdom, well, he has the right to talk to us. And again, we need to have an open approach to the Holy Spirit and hear him. Because he is the master. He is the key. So if we're not able to receive from God or find it difficult to receive from God, that's not condemnation. If we find it difficult to receive or hear from God, then we're going to have difficulty unlocking doors in our life and knowing direction, right? And when the rubber hits the road, we need to be able to know how to skillfully use the key that God has given to the church and to you and me to skillfully open that door, because every door in the kingdom of God is open. It's the blessing, open to the blessing. And every key that is hindering, every lock or binding that hinders us in our personal walk, in our walk with God, in our natural life, is also broken by the same key. So it unlocks, it can lock. It says, whatever you bind on earth can be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed on heaven. And we see the same thing in Matthew 18. God again is talking to all his disciples. And he says, surely I say to you that whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. This is Matthew 18, verse 18. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he says here, again, I say to you. You know, there's some teachers amongst us today. And when you teach, the best form of teaching is when you use repetition. And here we see, this is important. So Jesus is trying to get the message across to the disciples. He's saying, again, I'm telling you, again. Not with disdain, but he's saying, again, I'm saying to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them in my Father, by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Straight away, here we have an answer to a situation. We have faith. We have the key as we unlock doors in our lives, as we unite with each other, with our brothers and sisters, and pray faithfully about a circumstance or a brother's circumstance or a sister's circumstance. Guess what? Should we be surprised if God answers prayer? No. Why? He's given us the key to the kingdom. I remember we have all got various stories, I know, and I'll just share, just in closing, a story that something that happened to me. It was more during my in my work, and it goes back to 2008 or 9. And at the time, I was working. I was working on a specific product, and one of the features of this product was it would carry certain types of signal protocols, right, across long distances, right, very efficiently and very effectively. So companies like, let's use the word BT or whoever the incumbent or in Europe would have been, maybe France Telecom or Swisscom or any of these big companies, they would use this product of mine for certain purposes, you know, to transport certain information. And in Switzerland, which is where I was working, or of this project was, this particular feature was a new feature, okay? It was brand new, and it had some bugs. It wasn't, I mean, the product itself was very mature, very established, but this new feature, which had come out, was to transport live video very efficiently and effectively from anywhere to anywhere. Studio to studio, from maybe a hockey stadium or a football stadium, back to the studio and do all this. It was in time for, I think, the 2008 Euros in Switzerland, somewhere around there, 2009 or 11, somewhere, one of those big, and because I was in Europe, I was one of the product specialists, if you like, then because of this, the newness of this feature, I also had to step into these other shoes, and I had to be responsible for deploying this whole network across all of Switzerland. And I don't know if some of you will remember, but I was in Switzerland for weeks, right, in Zurich, and I was traveling around the whole country, and I was kind of coordinating a whole deployment of this product. That's very detailed. It takes a lot of planning, and when you've got bugs and things you're trying to manage as well, almost knowing what you can shield from the customer and what you can't shield from the customer, it gets tricky. Right? And things were heating up. We were doing a pilot deployment before the main deployment, ready for this big football game that was going to go between this football stadium. The information has to go between this football stadium and all of these different studios. Just like when you're watching the footy or the rugby, you'll see the studio cameras and everything else receiving it from the stadium. So we have a hard stop. Are we going to be ready to have this video information transmitted across our network? If we don't, it's going to be a big problem. There's going to be no video in the studio. They won't be able to do the commentary. Our company would have huge penalties put on it. It's a huge deal. This was a big multi-million pound thing. I was some sort of linchpin in that whole mix. Not the best idea. But I was there, and I had to be the man. Now, along with me, there was this project manager, and he was very gung-ho, not gung-ho, very, very strong, and he would rub people up the wrong way, and this is the customers. And things weren't going well at this particular time, and there were problems with rolling out this equipment, and we were seeing problems with the software, and I was having to go in backdoor and do these commands and stuff and try and get this thing working. And there were problems in the deployment, and there was a crunch meeting. Is this going to happen? Is this not going to happen? And the effect of not happening was it wasn't going to be good on our company, and they would have to quickly get something else in place in time for this football match. Anyway, there was this big board meeting, and all these big anoraks were in there, right? Important people. And the project manager was in there as well. And it was just the two of us. And I was representing the company, this guy from a technical perspective, and I was liaising with all the engineers. And this guy, he was more of a project manager, just trying to... So he had rubbed people up the wrong way and promised this and promised that. Anyway, the meeting exploded. I've never faced anything like this in my professional life. And there was all different languages, because there were different languages, and you knew some of the words weren't maybe the best choice of words. And things started to fly around the room. I'm talking about books, pens. This guy, this particular guy on the customer side, got very volatile, right? And that was part of his nature. And he really had taken a dislike to this project manager that I was sitting beside. And at one point, and I was quite pally with him, at one point, you know, thumping the table, stood up, chairs flying everywhere. He took this pen and he threw it. And I had to kind of duck. It wasn't aimed at me. It was aimed at the project manager. And he had to quickly duck as well. And his pen went skating past his face. And he just stormed out. And right at that moment, there was complete. It was just like dead calm. It was dead silence. And the project manager daren't speak. He knew he had lost the confidence. He had lost the floor. And he was like a wee boy. He didn't speak. And there, in the moment, there was just complete silence. I remember so well. And I think it wasn't broken by me. It was broken by the chair of the meeting. And he says, okay, so sometimes, yes, we get a little bit volatile. but this is a very serious issue. Anyway, tried to bring it back on track, and it seemed like it was not going to be back on track, that the whole thing could have collapsed at this point. The whole deployment and potentially the whole future rollout of this program was going to be halted because this pilot was not going to work. And I want to say, it's not necessarily in my nature to take things over, but I had God in that second. I got all the download in a millisecond of what had to happen. It was amazing. It was amazing because I've never had it since. The world would call it an epiphany. That's the best they could call it. I would say it was the Holy Spirit saying, I'm taking over here. And I was able to just start speaking. And I just started to speak. And as I started to speak, this whole plan of action, and what came with the plan of action was this kind of level of confidence that it's going to work. And I'm talking primarily to the engineers who would then have to go out and do these instructions. And I just started to relay as if, blasé, as if this has been the plan and it's going to work all along. And this was chaotic. And everything just seemed to stop, align themselves. Everything just aligned itself to this plan that I was communicating. And it was the Holy Spirit, because this thing was not working. It was not going to work. It was very detailed. I'm only describing it a little bit. It was very complex. And so straight away, they're all taking notes. We'll do this. We had an order. And the meeting cut back on track. We left the meeting and everything else. And we had one day to complete this in, because the match was going to be on the Wednesday. This is now the Monday. So we had the weekend, and worked all weekend. We hadn't got this thing working. All the engineers hadn't got it working. This meeting was on the Monday. So we've got, a day and a half to get this thing working. And we got it working in time for the Wednesday. The plan worked. Everything worked. The backdoor commands, everything just worked. It became, and the pilot match, everyone came to watch the pilot match, all the engineers, all the heads, and it was a big success. And then the rollout of the product came after that. I'm telling you, that whole thing could have been stunted right there. I have to say, don't tell anybody, but that is probably my most proud moment. I'm saying that because really the glory belongs to the Lord. But I felt there, I was unbelievable. How did that happen? And I'm not taking the glory, but I'm going, that wasn't normal. That was abnormal. Why? Because God had given me a key. The Holy Spirit had given me a key to that situation that I hadn't planned, otherwise would have done it. And it came in the moment when I was least expecting it, but when I needed it most. And the plan worked. We had the football. And guess what? Deborah got a Swiss watch out of it. That was the icing, because the guy who flung he flung the pen and went and he felt the Lord convicted him, and he really did not like the project manager, but he bought my wife a Swiss watch, didn't he? He says to say sorry for that. So we all worked out. It worked out. Anyway, all that to say, we will face situations where maybe there's no answer. Maybe it's a lot more real or difficult than even that. That was a difficult moment for me, a very pressured moment. I can't maybe explain it to all the degree, but it was a very heightened and pressured moment, and God gave me a key. But for many of you here, that moment could well take on many different forms. It could be sickness, it could be illness, it could be you've lost a loved one, someone that is really ill in your family. But the extent of that moment can be varied, broad, and very intense. And I want to say you belong to the kingdom of God, just as I belong to the kingdom of God. And you know, within the kingdom of God, there's no rank. We're part and parcel. We're children of the living God, and we've got that same key. And as I said earlier, it's to the measure that we open ourselves to hear from God and allow ourselves to be a vessel that He can use in a moment to bless somebody, to be a vehicle in the kingdom of God, to encourage somebody in that point of need, or to bring that word of blessing, or to just speak to that thing with the authority, the delegated authority that God has given us. Well, the choice is yours. So we can choose to be used. We can choose to be a key holder, but not unlock any doors and remain in our four walls. Or we can choose to reach the destiny that God has planned a purpose for you within the kingdom of God, which He holds. It's right up here. The choice is yours. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that He will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.